The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. In my upper left, the same place he is in my heart, it's Professor Jim Tubbs. Upper Hello. Left ventricle.
Yes, I'm very ventricular.
How's it going, Jim? You enjoying the weather?
Well, yeah, so far so good. It's cooled off a bit today, but it was very surprising. I was in Las Vegas last week,
right?
And when I got home, it was warmer here than it was when I left in Las Vegas, which I found rather odd.
But it is odd. Of course, the man who hears and sees all, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Mm-hmm. Were you doing your like Karnak there or?
No, I've just been sitting in this chair all morning because I've been doing market research for gummy bears all day today. So we are doing new gummy flavors soon.
Okay.
Innovative people, I will say that.
Okay. Okay.
Excellent. New gummy stuff is amazing. So
I think it's so great that just totally matter-of-factly, like Matt. Everyone, I've been on Zoom for a long time talking gummy bears. Like, I need a break. Like, this is very sort of normal for you. And
this is my regular routine.
That's right. Professor Beth Oljar is here with us. And it's been a month, Beth. I had to say, I gasped when I saw the length of your hair. I think it's great. But it was just a very big change in my mind's eye.
Oh, that's because I usually have pulled it back.
Sure.
And I just didn't. I didn't do that because I was a little late getting upstairs. So running abreast through it was about as much as any of you were going to get. Sorry. Yeah, I haven't gotten my hair cut in like forever. So, and it may stay this way for a while. I don't know.
Nice. It looks nice.
Thank you.
Yes, it does.
You can throw it out your second story window and Drew can climb out in case of a fire.
I can hear my older sister. Look at all that gray.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
She's let hers grow out white now, actually. Okay. So maybe she wouldn't give me a hard time, but
I'm willing to buy a bottle of Clairol to come down to your house or whatever.
Well, once you start coloring your hair, you have to keep coloring your hair. And I am way too cheap and have no desire to spend that much time. And I'm just not going to do it.
Oh, no natural.
And you get old. People get older. It's just called, you know, the human condition.
Yep.
Spoken like a philosophy professor.
That would make sense.
Professor Mara Livesey is here with us today. What's going on, Mara?
You know, it's too warm for me. It's like 100% humidity out there. But Beth, I just want to say, from a 30-year-old who's prematurely graying, 5,000 thumbs up on that. I'm not going to start dyeing my hair ever. Thank you very much.
Mara. When I was in Las Vegas last week, it was 8% relative humidity.
Oh, that's the dream.
About the driest I've been.
When it's 80 degrees inside my house, the air conditioning goes on. I don't care what. That's like my, if it gets there, I'm not even going to try to tolerate it anymore. And nobody needs to be around when I'm trying. So
right.
That's like 75 is my limit.
Oh, that makes me feel better.
I've got the cryogenic tubes going right about now, so I'm not aging.
I was just going to say something about, you know, it's not the heat, it's the humidity, because you can see what this humidity does to my hair. It's just a wreck.
The ringlets coming off your forehead are amazing.
Professor Heather Hill is here with us today.
Hello.
you were like foofing your hair, and then you were just
you were
waiting to be introduced. There was great.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, I was thinking, you know, Beth, you don't have to dye it a natural color. Remember Olivia, my daughter's aquamarine hair.
I could do blue. Sure, that would involve a sacrifice of dignity at the age of 55.
Oh, like you're worried about dignity by being on this show?
Touche, my friend. Touche. Well played.
We all come on here in order to, you know, have our undignified moments.
That's right. That's right.
I try to have those in the classroom.
And again, you leave me with these horrific segues. Like, speaking of indignity, it's Professor Stephen Manning. I'm not going to do that this time. I'm just going to introduce Stephen and say Stephen Manning is also here with us today.
Hello. Good afternoon.
You have a nice little sort of clean cut action going on. No long hair for you this time.
Well, I'm going back to the guy. Yep.
Okay.
Actually, truth be told, we sat down yesterday afternoon at 2:55 and we went to we couldn't get on.
No.
So we kept checking the code and all this stuff, and finally one of us realized it's tomorrow. So we have no idea what day it ever is.
I tell you what though, being early is much better than being late. So I think everything is fine.
24 hours early.
Yeah. We're losing our minds.
You and everybody else, Stephen.
Yep. Past tense or present tense? I mean,
both.
Oh. We're all quite mad here.
That's right. Dan Maggio is here. He's here to do an advertisement for First Game Changer Star Wars Edition.
Oh, I have to tell you that's the old slide, too, and I need to change that. So, like, you don't know what day. I don't even know what computer I'm on, so I get a different background depending on which computer I'm on and which app I'm using.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
I have to change that. But thank you for the nod to the game there. Thank you.
And drinking out of your Ask the Professor mug.
I earned this by sending in questions at one point.
That's awesome. Well, folks, you know, that's how the program works. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on the Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. I think we're going to have a little bit of fun with this set of questions that was sent in by one of our favorite people at University of Detroit Mercy. These were sent in by Detroit Mercy's assistant registrar, Mr. Jeff Nardecchia.
Oh, wow.
These questions are inspired by a course title that almost appeared in the Detroit Mercy schedule. Let's do drugs.
Ooh,
yes.
Here are 10 questions inspired by actually offered college course titles from all over the United States.
Oh boy.
This should be fun. Okay. MIT believed that studying this sport would allow students to explore the typification of masculinity over the course of recent American history. What activity was being studied in this course?
Video gaming?
Quidditch?
American football?
Yeah, football would be. Yeah,
something.
Hockey? Toe wrestling?
Rugby?
Especially masculine? Is it especially masculine?
I can tell you that it was offered at MIT in the spring of 2007, so it's relatively recent, but not completely recent.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Frisbee throwing.
Synchronized swimming.
Rugby. Egg.
Yeah, rugby, which sounds like
rugby.
The only thing that I don't see you necessarily
weightlifting
going to is my air quotes around the word.
Yeah, I saw that.
Sport.
Yes.
Oh, is it beer drinking?
It is physical. It's not beer drinking, no.
Lawn mowing.
So it's not really a sport, but it's masculine.
So it's competitive? Interesting because I feel like you've thrown so many darts at
women
the dartboard.
Watching?
What was that, Heather?
Women watching.
Well,
yeah.
In a lot of ways, you've all just gotten right up close to it, but not said the words. It's a course in the history of American professional wrestling.
Wrestling.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's definitely like you come home for the holidays. Hey, how was the semester complement of courses? Well, my wrestling course has been really great. You mean like learning how to wrestle? No, we're studying Hulk Hogan.
Drew could teach that. I didn't know you could teach that at MIT.
Apparently you can.
It's worth studying. It's cultural studies.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying it's not worth studying. I just find it fascinating.
I have a nephew that teaches at MIT, and he was a big Hulk Hogan fan when he was four. but I think he grew out of it.
Imagine if you had to tell your parents that you got a C minus in the course.
And I want to know, what's the midterm like?
Well, you have to be able to differentiate Rowdy Roddy Piper from John Cena from
right.
Like a figure four leg lock from a half Nelson or something like that.
Or all the grades for the course are predetermined before the first day of class. I mean, everybody knows what the outcome
is. I'm tapping out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Who's a face? Who's a heel?
Very nice. Let's try another one here. There was a course at Rutgers that was actually adapted into the book Ain't I a Diva? Beyonce and the Power of Pop Culture Pedagogy. What was the name of the course taught at Rutgers that became that book?
Sasha Fierce.
I'm going to say something. How to
walk
fierce.
A runway.
How to be fierce.
Posing?
I mean, again, you have like the spirit of everything of what this is, just not the exact wording. This was a course taught at Rutgers titled Politicizing Beyonce was the name of the class. So when you say Sasha Fierce is the name of the course, I'm like, yeah, that's basically it. But it actually became a book, which I think is kind of cool. Now I have to go check that book out.
I would take that class.
Yeah. Ain't I a Diva? I mean, come on. Let's do drugs. Ain't I a Diva? I mean,
I still think you should have been able to call it that. I really
they didn't let me.
I know.
The provost got involved. I just
provost. The provost got involved.
Oh, even, yes.
Even if you put it in quotation marks.
The chair of the department received a call from the provost. It's like, can we please make this different?
you're talking about the UDM example?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This one is fairly straightforward. I think it's kind of entered into pop culture. The course itself, honestly, over the last 25 years, Santa Clara University. Uses this popular entertainment franchise to teach its physics courses.
Harry Potter.
Star Wars?
It's got to be a video game.
It's a movie franchise.
Dave got closest, but I'm looking at Dan.
What did Dave say?
What? Oh, Star Wars?
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
The physics of Star Trek, which also became a book after the class, by the way.
I thought more of a video game because they have to model physics so much and movement. Sure. And
I know there was a while there that our physicist Prasad Venugopal was talking about having a class in Angry Birds, because the physics engine in Angry Birds is so hardcore. You can teach all the Newtonian dynamics from it. And I thought that was cool. It's just that Angry Birds aren't that relevant anymore. So
it's from William in the Windmill. You know that? He did teach a section on that.
Yes, he did. He did, and had a great time of it this year, by the way.
Yeah.
So in Star Trek, I always wanted to know, this would be a good question for Prasad, how do they explain their artificial gravity?
Right. And how do they explain all the inertia problems away? Once you get an object started in motion, how does it stop if there's no matter to stop it? So,
where do the dilithium crystals come from?
There you go.
Isn't that the key to warp speed?
Absolutely. Yeah,
there were lithium mines on some planet.
Mm-hmm. That's the latest plot line now. So
that doesn't correlate to Earth physics.
And then right. What's another thing that they have to scan? Oh, the Heisenberg compensator?
Right.
For beaming people in and out. Like, how much does it take with you or leave behind? I mean.
Right. How about this one? If you have a desire to learn phonology, vocabulary, and grammar in a language that most people wouldn't be able to correct you in when you use it, you could take a class in this language developed by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Elvish?
Elvish. You can take a class in Elvish. Yes. That is the real deal right there. That's at a place called Morley College. I'm not familiar with it, but... feel free to learn. I mean, it's worse just as bad. You learn Latin, it's like a dying tongue, right? But what about a tongue that's technically never been spoken except for in the movies?
And isn't Klingon being taught at several universities too?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It makes total sense.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor,
in which the eight professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
And we've got questions from Detroit Mercy's assistant registrar, Mr. Jeff Nardecchia. Questions inspired by actually offered college course titles from all over the United States. How about something a little closer to home? This was, frankly, a few years before the pandemic, but we saw it a little bit in the news. This Michigan State University course explores human psychology and behavior during a very specific catastrophe. What course would teach those skills?
9/11?
9/11, yeah.
Mm-mm. Ebola?
Nope.
How the world's going to end?
You're getting close, Beth.
Like a zombie apocalypse?
That is exactly it. It's how to survive the zombie apocalypse. That's right. Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. That is a real deal course.
And they just used Zombie Beth, the book, right?
Right, exactly. How about a history course at the University of Iowa? It explores what Disney World, Yellowstone, and Atlantic City have in common, all through a historical context. What would the undergrads taking this course be studying?
Rides.
What are the three again? Yellowstone, Atlantic City, and
Disney World, Yellowstone, Atlantic City.
Yellowstone.
Alternative realities.
Is it a play on parks at all? No.
Getting close, Dan. Although I do like alternative realities. This is a course in studying the Great American Vacation. The Great American Vacation.
What?
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Do people go to Atlantic City for vacation?
Yeah.
They do in the movies.
They do in the
movies. How about this course offered at the University of California, Irvine? Have you ever considered how the Incredible Hulk would have impacted the environment on our planet? If you have, you might want to take this course.
Going green?
Ha ha, that's a good one.
Whoa, I got to give partial credit.
That's environmental wrestling?
Superheroes and their effect on society.
That's 98% right there. It's science from superheroes to global warming. I mean, they're finding a way to connect it. So, but I like the green, like they totally missed the green angle there. I mean, come on. How about at good old UC Berkeley? This course notes that a long-running TV show's best moments serve as inroads to a broader consideration of philosophical imperatives in ethics, theology, free will. What is the TV show covered in this course that first ran in 2003 and runs to this day at Berkeley?
Big Bang Theory.
Mm-mm. Is it that one with... No. 2003.
I actually have the book as a result of this course on the bookshelf in my office.
Hmm.
Theology and philosophy.
Ethics and free will.
Harry Potter.
Survivor.
It might just be a few weeks off from recording. You think? No, you know, it's The Simpsons and philosophy. It's an intro philosophy class that uses.
Oh, we should have known that instantly with you, Beth.
Yeah.
If you've got the book.
And just at his office?
There are a bunch of those books. So
Buffy, yeah,
Vampire Slayer and Philosophy, South Park and Philosophy, you know.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Ethics and free will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good place to start, right?
Sure.
You need not love oranges to study this course at Florida Southern. The class covers all the fruits in this field of study. What subject are you studying?
Citrus fruit?
Yeah, it's citrus studies.
Citrus studies.
Like, what are you learning?
When are we going to get acetic acid studies?
I hope the instructor put more effort into the course than the title.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Prune studies.
There's the old lemon squirt in the eye for you.
Oh, that is just, I don't even know what to say. I just, of course I know what to say. I'll quote The Simpsons. So to end our course on monorails, mono means one and rail means rail. Any questions? This course at the University of Washington,
explores monorails, which are trains to nowhere.
Exactly. This course at the University of Washington explores life on or from other planets in a structured interdisciplinary training. It's a graduate level course. What is it called?
Not the one in ethics and public policy, then, presumably, that I taught.
Huskies and
cosmic studies.
Huskies from Mars.
You're specifically talking about life forms, though. So that's
extraterrestrials.
Getting closer.
Heather. Is it a play on a movie title or something?
No, it's actually kind of not really aliens? Like a goofy name. It's just sort of a like
aliens in us.
Like bacteria in your Starbucks coffee.
No, it's astrobiology is what it's called. Astrobiology. That really makes you think about the stars there.
I'm thinking Dr. Jetsons. So, I mean.
Jeff, those were pretty spectacular questions. Those were a lot of fun.
I was thinking of alien huskies, which would characterize our beast.
Psycho dog beast.
Who's clearly from another planet.
Psycho dog beast.
So, you know, we have just enough time here, professors, for us to do our absolute classic. We have you remember our new version of our ATP favorites is called The Imponderables. This is from Frank Burrows and his family, and they are interested in finding out our favorite regional food.
Regional food.
Ooh, I got
to one. This region?
Oh, pasties.
Pasties are a good answer, but I don't think it has to be this region. Mara, could be any region.
Has to be the United States or no?
No, probably not.
Oh. I beg your pardon.
Well, another one would be grits.
Of course.
Okay, I've got one. I don't know how well known it is, but a friend of mine's been asking me questions all about almond boneless chicken.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Once you leave Detroit, you're not going to find it. So.
That's right. ABC.
I get that at Wing Hong all the time.
I know, but again, go ask your family down south, see if they have almond boneless.
Hmm.
It's a regional thing from
beignets.
Fried chicken and beignets. That sounds delicious.
Oh.
The beignets there and the cafe au lait is really, you haven't really lived until you've done that. Plus, they're just so yummy.
Yeah. Who doesn't like fried dough? That's what I always say.
I am a connoisseur of the fry-later arts. So, as Anthony Bourdain used to like to say, so
I love
violator
it.
Arts.
I love it.
I'm a fan of the microwave arts.
There you go.
How about Philadelphia cheesesteaks?
A cheesesteak is a good one. Yeah,
have absolutely. You guys seen the lefties yet?
No.
No.
Oh, come
so,
on.
So, I'd probably say, so chicken shawarma, being from around here. But if you went back to where I grew up, so in northwestern Pennsylvania, they have ox roast, which is basically shaved like beef, but it's cooked in a special way. So you have ox roast sandwiches. Those are delicious. And that's very regional to that area and the German immigrants that settled there. I know another one, which I don't like at all, and it's not regional to me here, but Philadelphia's got that fried pork fat.
Scrapple.
Ugh.
There's a lot more to scrapple than fried pork fat.
I am surprised that I haven't heard it yet. Not that I'm like admonishing all of you, but you know, being where we are, one of the very few places in the entire world to go south to get into Canada. I mean, I gotta say, I've been to Comerica Park twice, and a good old fashioned poutine, you know, fits the bill.
Under I was wondering if you were going to say that.
Circumstances. Comerica Park's got a $12 poutine this season, and yeah, that's steep, but it was delicious.
Yeah, there's enough carbs and grease to last you the rest of your life.
That's goodness. That we don't look at as carbs and grease. That's a national fruit in Canada.
I'd just like to say that I may or may not have still been recovering from COVID when I went and got that poutine on a chilly Tigers game. And my wife looked right at me going, you can't taste any of that, can you? And I go, I don't care. It just has a homey feeling.
Yeah, if it's a cold enough day, you know, it helps.
Poutine is for the soul, it's not for the stomach.
That's right. That's right.
I'm torn between two like polar opposites. Regional to Michigan, saying like, nothing beats a good Coney dog. Oh. But when I was in Boston last, I had this like great lobster roll.
Oh,
like they're both sandwiches, and they're equally good, just very different.
Oh. Mm, very different. Yeah.
Yep. So to get, I am no way an expert on lobster rolls, but when I do go to New Hampshire and it's in the summer, we drive to the Atlantic coast. So where New Hampshire meets Maine, there's the coastal road and there are many roadside stands that just specialize in just like lobster, like 10 for a dollar. You can get a lobster.
I don't know.
And lobster rolls, and they are just fantastic there.
Do you do Lobster Fest?
I'll do Lobster Fest.
Hey, Matt, there's a place in Maine that I order live lobster from.
Oh, my gosh.
They will ship it here overnight, and they will still be alive.
Yeah, my parents actually sent us a whole lobster dinner from Maine for Christmas. That was our
first. Wow.
It was incredible.
Isn't it?
Really good.
That is the best.
Yep, and they were still alive and kicking.
Yeah.
Wow.
I still remember when we came back from Maine that one time, I remember Marcy went over to the to get the luggage and said, ain't nobody gonna care about my dirty underwear. Where are the live lobsters? So, yeah, I just made sure I got the lobsters. I could care less about my luggage, but we brought home like 11 live lobsters.
This is just about as lively a response to the imponderable question as we've seen since we got this
food.
List. This is great. It's
about food. Dr. Manning.
Mm-hmm. Well, lobsters are reminded me when I lived in Brunswick when I was teaching at Bowdoin in the summertime, they would, I think the two husbands were lobstermen, and they would bring the catch in and they would put it in the back of a pickup truck that they had fashioned with salt water in the truck.
Yep.
And dumped all the lobsters in there and then drove to the town square. This is a tiny town. The only thing that there is Bowdoin. They drive to the town square and their wives would sell these lobsters right out of the pool. And they were, at some point, they were down to, you know, $2 a pound.
Oh,
I mean, limited.
Wow.
I was waiting for to hear like they were heating the butter on the manifold or something like that.
You'd start the butter heating at the apartment before you went downtown to get the lobsters. So the butter was ready when you got back. I would also add to that list a regional specialty because I'm from New England as well. I think it's Route 1, the coastal road in the East Coast.
Yes.
Fried clam places. Fried clams. I had so many fried clams when I was a kid because they were plentiful and cheap. Now they're so expensive. My brother, who lives in Phoenix, sometimes orders them by mail. And I think we had them last year when we were out there. We had them. Last time we were out there, he had ordered something. We had a whole bunch of fried clams. Delicious.
Nice. We've covered a lot of ground here for absolute sure. But I'm afraid the time has come for us all to say goodbye. Dan.
Goodbye.
Stephen.
Bye.
Heather.
Goodbye.
Mara.
See ya.
Beth.
Bye.
Dave.
See ya.
And Jim.
Goodbye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.